family, we join with Adam in welcoming all of you this morning to our worship service. And if you're visiting with us, we're always gratified by the presence of those who come to worship with us and visit with us. And we hope that you'll come again. We have already had a number of people that have gone on vacations for the summer. You can see some of the empty pews here. But anyway, they'll be back. Others will be going. And we hope that you'll continue to encourage others to come with you and worship with us during the summer months. And it's good to be back from Louisiana. And I had the opportunity last Sunday to speak to the Lord's Church in Leesville. Two churches actually came together. And that's unusual because so many of them today are fragmenting and dividing and polarizing. And it is refreshing to see God's people coming together to work together in that common cause of leading those who are lost to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so anyway, I'm thankful to have had that opportunity. This morning, I want to talk to you about a subject that is real important. As a matter of fact, it is something that supersedes the love of your mother. It supersedes the threat, believe it or not, of your father, the wisdom of your grandparents, and the strength of your own convictions. Now, you probably in your mind are thinking, what on earth is he going to be talking about this morning? What could possibly be greater than the love of your mother, the threat of your father, the strength of your own conviction, or perhaps the wisdom of your own grandparents? Well, believe it or not, this morning I want to talk on the subject of peer pressure. You know, peer pressure is an interesting word. We don't like to discuss that too much. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I'm not bound by peer pressure. I don't let peer pressure determine what I'm going to do in life. Well, let's first begin this morning by asking that question right there. What is peer pressure? You hear it a lot today. We hear it sometimes regarding our young people. And we say, well, our young people have so much peer pressure today. Well, believe it or not, you have peer pressure as well. I have peer pressure. It is the pressure, if you will, to conform. Overcoming peer pressure for Christians of all ages is something that every one of us ought to be concerned about. Now, peer pressure certainly involves young people, but it involves every one of us in this audience this morning because we have a tendency oftentimes to follow the crowd. And there is a big caution. If you were to pick up the Bible, you would read through the pages of God's eternal word. You would see that almost over and over again. Beware of peer pressure. Caution. What is peer pressure? Well, peer pressure is described as social pressure by one's peer group to take certain actions or to adopt certain values or otherwise conform in order to be accepted. The American Heritage says that peer pressure from one's own peers to behave in a manner that is similar or acceptable to them. There has always been the tendency among people in today's world to follow that multitude of people who believe in a certain way. You listen to young people talk, not only young people, but older people as well. They rationalize that if somebody's doing it, or the majority of people are doing it, it must be right. But that is not the criteria for determining whether or not a particular thing is right or whether it is wrong. Solomon said, there is a way that appears right in a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. And Moses in the Old Testament said, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. And so even if the multitude is doing something, it does not mean that it is right. I'll tell you, I can tell you one thing very safely this morning, and I'm not trying to be audacious in making this statement, but I can tell you that it is true, and I think most of us could say the same thing. Show me your friends and I will predict your future. Do you know the Bible says, come ye out from among them and be separate, thus saith the Lord. And what God is saying is for those people who are Christians that you are not to be influenced by the ungodly forces of evil. And so he says, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord God. God's message to us today is don't be pressured. How many of you like pressure? How many of you like it when your wife pressures you? How many of you like it when your husband pressures you? Well, I can see that no one does here this morning, and that's great. How many of you like to be pressured when you go in, perhaps maybe to a place to buy clothes? How many of you'd rather just be left alone? Oh, look at the hands go up. Now, how many, if you're going to buy an automobile, how many of you like for someone to pressure you into buying that particular car? Don't like it. Well, God's message to us is don't be pressured. Now, you know what? I have never tried to pressure someone into becoming a Christian. I unveil the Word of God to them. I make known unto you the desires of Almighty God for you to follow Him. But if I pushed you and I pressured you into becoming a Christian, it would be for the wrong reason and it wouldn't be acceptable unto God. Do I attempt to persuade you? Yes, I would. Because Paul said, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But I'm not going to high pressure you into doing something that is against your own will. Because I'm going to tell you something, you would not be right with God if I did. You shall not follow a multitude to do evil. Again, Exodus chapter 23 and verse 2. Listen to these words taken from Proverbs 1 and verse 10. And listen, he says, my son, if sinners entice you, he says, do not consent. In the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, the Bible says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then in that little book of 3 John, over right before the book of Jude and Revelation, and in verse 11, only one chapter, the Bible says, beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. We have to think of ourselves as individuals. You know that most of the people in this world today are followers? They are. They're not leaders. We are followers by and large. But I've said it many, many times that people need to think for themselves. You be an individual, and it is all right for you at times to say no. In the Old Testament, there was a man by the name of Daniel, and Daniel was a great servant of Almighty God. He and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were taken actually into a corrupt world. And when they got there in Babylon, I can tell you that the king had changed their names. Their names were changed from Hananiah to Shadrach, from Mishael to Meshach, and from Azariah to Abednego. And even Daniel's name was changed to Belteshazzar. Now, they didn't argue about their names being changed. And I want to tell you something. When they got up in the morning, they didn't get to go to a school where prayer was being offered unto God like they did back in their homeland. But when the time came when they said that the king had given an edict that you were to eat the king's meat and that you were to drink wine from his table, Daniel backed away and said no. As a matter of fact, one of the favorite words in Daniel's vocabulary was this word. It is the word no, and it is a word that we don't like to use. But Daniel said, I will not defile myself. You know, the Bible actually says, before it mentions that, it says that he purposed in his heart. You know what you have to do in today's world? You have to purpose in your heart to do the will of God and not be pressured by your peers into doing something that is wrong. I learned a long time ago. I learned as a young person, but I've always tried to live that way through life. It is better to be a loner than it is to be a loser. I have never, as I told our class this morning in here, I have never preached to please the ears of people. I preach to please my God who is in heaven. I have never done anything against the will of God to be accepted by my peers. I haven't, and I would not. We have to think for ourselves. The Bible says in the book of Romans 12 and verse 21, "Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good." But who decides? Who decides? I can tell you who decides. You do. I do. We decide. Based upon the truth of God's eternal word. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about some examples of those who were pressured to conform and who did, and some who were pressured to conform who did not. One of the great examples of anyone who was given and gave in to conformity was a man by the name of Aaron. He was the brother, if you will, of Moses in the Old Testament. Now, you remember the story of Moses and how he was called while he was tending the sheep of his father-in-law, Jethro. Moses had a brother named Aaron. When God called Moses, he said, "I can't go, I can't speak well, I'm not good at it." God told Moses that he would do, and he would empower him to do what God had asked him to do. He took Aaron as his spokesman. They had a sister named Miriam, you remember. Israel had been in Egyptian captivity for many years. And when God prevailed upon Moses to go down before King Pharaoh to let the people go, they went. Moses eventually, they're all out in the wilderness, and Moses eventually goes up to Mount Sinai to receive the law of God. But when he came down from that mountain, Aaron and the people of God, believe it or not, had taken all of their gold and they had melted it down and they had made a graven image and they were worshiping that graven image, that golden calf. You see, Aaron had been pressured by the people to do what he did. When Moses came down from the mountain with the law of God, he broke them because they were not worthy to receive it because they had turned away from Jehovah. And when Moses reckoned with Aaron about what he had done, he says, "Well, the people, they made me do it." Well, they didn't really make him do it, but they did pressure him into do it. And he gave in to their peer pressure. And in the book of Exodus chapter 32, beginning in verse 19, the Bible reads, "So it was, as soon as they came near the camp, he saw that the calf, saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. Then he took the calf which they had made, burned it in the fire, and ground it up into powder, and he scattered it on the water and made the children of Israel drink it. And Moses said unto Aaron, 'What did this people do to you, that you have brought so great a sin upon them?' So Aaron said, 'Do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people, that they are set on evil. For they said to me, "Make us gods that shall go before us, as this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt. We do not know what has become of him.' And he said unto them, 'Whosoever has any gold, let them break it off.' So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire, and this calf came out." Now, how irrational is that? That sounds like somebody 9 or 10 years old, doesn't it? As a matter of fact, I'm not trying to diminish your intelligentsia, those of you who are 9 and 10. But Aaron gave in to the pressure of those who wanted to turn against God. You know, when you listen to our world today, and we were talking about this in Bible class this morning, when you listen to our world today, you and I are combated with pressure from our friends and from people who are not our friends, people who are non-Christian, who are trying to lead the way, who are trying to shape this country and shape your life. And I would say to you again, it is better to be a loner than it is to be a loser. For you see, in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30, God says, those that honor me, I will honor them. The result of Aaron's conformity was that he tried to blame other people for his actions. He sinned and had provided opportunity for other people to sin as well. You would think that Aaron would stand up and say, we cannot go against our God. But he did not. As a matter of fact, he sounded extremely foolish, and he lied on top of it. When I think about peer pressure, I'm not only reminded of those in the Old Testament, I'm reminded of some of the closest friends to the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, one of his so-called bold disciples, it was the Apostle Peter. Jesus had been taken by the Roman guards, and he had been carried back into the city where he would be tried by the Sanhedrin. And those who would manufacture false charges against him. Peter not wanting to be associated with Christ because they had taken him back. And the Bible says that Peter followed afar off. He wanted to stay his distance from his Lord. You know, we have a lot of folks like that today that want to stay their distance from Jesus. They want to come to church on Sunday morning, but when it comes to Monday, they want to stay a distance away from Jesus. They want to follow afar off. And the Bible says that while Peter is standing there warming his hands by the fire, a little damsel says to him, you know what? You were with Jesus. And she shouts it where others can hear it. And he denies it 3 times. She said, no, you were with him because your speech betrays you. But he cursed and he swore. And eventually he wept bitterly over his sin. And he had to live with the thought of his denial. That's a horrible thing, isn't it? It is. But he knew what Jesus has said. He that denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father who is in heaven. Now, Peter was the one who was always bold. He was always quick to speak up for Jesus. But when push came to shove, Peter denies him. I wonder how many of us today would be so courageous and so bold to speak out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for what is right and what is good. Or are we afraid of reprisal? I told our class this morning, I'm not afraid of reprisal from this government. I'm not afraid of reprisal from anyone. When I speak the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is true. Paul says, I shun not to preach unto you the whole counsel of God. He said, I am set for the defense of the gospel of Christ, not the defense of my peers. And he had to live with the remorse. But God in his mercy forgave him. But then on the other hand, I think of those who were not influenced by their peers. Now let me say right up front, peer pressure can be a good thing if you're being influenced for good, if your peers are Christians and they are influencing you for what is right. Yes, peer pressure is a good thing. But if that peer pressure is from those who are not Christians, who are trying to draw you away from God and lead you down a path that is ungodly, you better watch out. And a lot of people in this world today, unfortunately, are being led by the ungodly peers instead of the godly. Remember the story of Noah in the Old Testament? Noah was pressured, but he did not conform. He didn't. You know, you have to really think about that man's life and what a great example he really was. You know, of all of the millions of people that were living in the day of Noah, in the book of Genesis chapter 5, and you can read on beyond that in chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8, you'll read about this great and courageous man of valor named Noah. Now, there's something very unusual about his life. In the midst of the amalgamation of ungodly folks, Noah was the only one who stood up and spoke for God. And so God prevailed upon him and he said, Noah, he said, I want you to build an ark. I'm getting ready to flood this earth. I'm getting ready to do something that they had never ever seen before, and that is rain falling from heaven. Do you know that there is no evidence that it ever rained until the days of Noah? That water went up from the earth. You didn't have to worry about making a corn crop or make a squash crop. You didn't have to worry about that. Whether or not the meteorologist was on TV saying, hey, there's a 50% chance of rain. They didn't sit around saying, oh, I hope it rains tomorrow. As a matter of fact, when it started raining from heaven, they were saying, I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. Because the rain came down and the flood came up. Even scientists can tell you from the stratosphere of the earth that there is great evidence that there was a flood that encompassed this whole entire earth as we know it. And in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, the Bible says that God did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. Now, you know why? You know why God flooded the earth? God didn't just someday say, well, I think I'll flood the earth. Because the Bible says that God saw that the imagination of man's heart was evil continually. You think you live in a corrupt world today? It wasn't like Noah's day. It was a whole lot worse. The Bible says they were corrupt from their youth up. They were pressured by their peers. And they sold out. But Noah didn't. And Noah allowed, by the hand of Almighty God, his wife and his sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and their wives, to enter into the ark. And the flood came. The water burst through the clouds of heaven. And it flooded this earth. And in the process of flooding the earth and destroying the old sinful things, it gave a new birth to the earth when the water abated. You know, that's such a beautiful example of baptism, isn't it? When one is baptized into Christ, the old sin is washed away. when you're under that water and when you come up out of that water, that you have been given a new birth according to John 3, verse 3 through 5. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, the Bible talks about that world that formerly was disobedient. When once the divine long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. And he goes on to say that that's the representation of what baptism is all about. Noah didn't give in. He was much like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when those three friends of Daniel were thrown into that fiery furnace and they didn't burn up and they looked in and they saw them, they said, "Turn the heat up." And they turned it up. And when they looked again, they saw four in the fire, and it was as if the Son of God was standing there with them. Let me tell you something. When the world turns up its heat on you, don't you give in. And it will turn up its heat. It gets pretty heated sometimes in our world. The book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7 says, "By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness according to his faith." What a wonderful thing. "The birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them," God said. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And this is the genealogy of Noah, that he was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. I like what Genesis 6, 22 says about him, that Noah did according to all that God commanded him. And then says it again. Make sure you get it. "So he did." And the result of his nonconformity was that he stood by his convictions. You and I must stand by our convictions. A man who will not stand up for something will fall for everything. And he separated himself from his family, from evildoers and temptations. Did Noah have cousins and aunts and uncles and nephews and nieces that were ungodly? Absolutely. But he didn't back away and say, "Well, if my aunt and my uncle don't go to heaven, then I don't want to go." How irrational is that kind of thinking? Noah said, "I want to be right with God." He was not afraid to stand alone against the wickedness of all that was around him. And when you get that picture of Noah going into that ark with all those animals, it's a very wonderful thing. Now, people would think this man is totally ludicrous and out of his mind. But he wasn't. And he didn't give in to the peer pressure. But then there's another. Jesus was pressured, but he did not conform. Jesus was the Son of God, and he was tempted in all points like we are, Hebrews chapter 4 says, yet without sin. He didn't give in. Hebrews 4 and verse 15. Didn't happen. But you read about that temptation of Jesus in the book of Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. Three different temptations that we read about, but he didn't conform. And the result of his nonconformity was that he stood up for the word of his father when others would not. He separated himself from the faithless and those who refused to believe in him. And he was not afraid to stand alone when he died. Let me encourage you this morning. When you are pressured to conform, remember this. Stand with conviction, with Christ, and wear his name and bear his burden. For 1 Peter 4, verse 14 through 16 says, if you reproach for the name of Jesus, blessed are you, for the Spirit of the glory of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, or an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify his Father who is in heaven. And God says to us, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. God says that we are to be transformed. And I want to live the transformed life in Jesus. And you know what I want to say to the world? Is that I am simply a Christian. Transformed. That I am just a Christian, and a Christian only. But how can we be transformed? If God says that we're to be transformed out of the world, we understand what conformity is, but how do we go about transforming? By doing God's will. That's how you do it. And the only thing in this world that you and I ever have to conform to is the truth of the Holy Scriptures. Do you realize that? That's true. It's the only thing that you have to conform to. Conforming to believe in Jesus. That's what he asks you to do, isn't it? John 8, 24, Romans 1, the power of the gospel that brings about a change in our life, conforming to the gospel through your belief in the gospel and repenting of your sin. And that means to change your life. Sometimes the pressure of the world is so great, they say, you don't have to change. Don't let God tell you what to do. You ought to know that He wants you to have a happy, joyful life here in this world at any price. Not true. And that transformation really takes place when one is baptized into Christ. Do you know that the sin of the world would never have been washed away had the flood not come? They could have said all day, oh, God will forgive. You know what? Noah had to build the ark. They couldn't imagine what he was doing. But he built it. And it resulted in the saving of his family and himself. When one is baptized into Christ, and that's where the blood of Jesus touches us. When we are lowered in water, baptized into Christ, we receive the atoning blood of Jesus. The old sin is washed away, and again, we've been given a new birth, just like the earth was. Such a beautiful picture. That's why it's so important for us to be baptized. And it's why it's so important for us to be transformed and then live that obedient life in Christ continually. Noah and the seven others who were saved on the ark could have never been right with God just because they were saved in an ark. They had to be faithful unto God. You see, in reality, God formed us. Sin deformed us. And only Jesus can transform us. It is true. And I ask you the question this morning in closing, are you ready for the transformation? Are you? Then I'll ask you another question. If not, when? When will you be ready? What would have to happen for you to get ready? Some calamity, illness, death of a child, death of a loved one. What would it take for you to get ready for for the transformation. I hope the Word of God is the answer for you this morning. Because God said it, I'm ready for it. And we're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement and invitation, inviting you to come to Jesus for transformation. He's ready to transform you into something very beautiful and wonderful if you'll yield your life unto Him and give up the peer pressure of the world. If you want to yield any pressure, yield to His. God is asking you to do that this morning. I'm asking you to do it while we stand and while we sing. Lord.